this morning, I want to tell you the story of this young man that we read about in our scripture reading, Mephibosheth. And if I'm not saying it right, you can tell me after Brother Irv and you and Brother Harry can tell me if my pronunciation is wrong. But this young man's story is one of the sweetest stories in all the Bible. Now, just reading it, you might not understand how it's such a sweet story. But once I tell it to you and to say some things about it, I think I want you to leave this place and saying this morning, what a wonderful, wonderful story about this young man. David had killed Goliath, and he was brought before King Saul. And after he was brought before the king, the Bible says that his soul was knit with the soul of Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan was the most likely one to succeed Saul as king. And it was very unusual that there was such a strong bond between these two men, because one day, instead of Jonathan becoming king, David would become king. But these two men loved each other in a way that no other two men in the Bible loved each other. Israel went to war against the Philistines. And in the same battle, King Saul and his son Jonathan were killed. At that same time, the Philistines came to the place where Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, was being cared for by a nurse. And as the army approached, he was a little boy, probably 5 years old at that time. As the army approached, his nurse either took him in her arms or grabbed him by the hand and said, "We need to run. The enemy is after us and will probably kill you." It says in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." Again, because the Bible says that the nurse took him up, many people think that she was carrying him, and in her haste fell on his legs, and he was lame in both legs from that point. 8 years later, after David had become king, he got to thinking about his buddy Jonathan. And he called his servants together and says, "Is there any of Saul's descendants still alive? I want to do something nice for him on behalf of my friend Jonathan." And they called one of Saul's servants, this man that we read about, Ziba. And King David said to him, "Does Saul have any descendants left? Is there any living that I could show kindness to?" And Ziba said, "Yes, he has a grandson. In fact, it's Jonathan's son. He's a cripple. He's a teenager. He's 13 years old. He lives down in Lodibar. I think he's living with his uncle, a man by the name of Micah. And he's crippled and he's living down there." And King David said to Ziba, I want you to go down and get him. I want you to go down and bring him back to me, because I'm not only going to give him all the lands that belong to his father and his grandfather, but he's going to sit at my table and eat at my table." Now, when David was saying that, the only people that ate at the king's table were the king's sons. And what David was saying is, "I'm going to make this young man, this 13-year-old cripple, I am going to make him one of my sons. He's going to eat at my table. He's going to be part of my kingdom. He is going to be part of my family." This morning, I want to point out five things to you. And as I point out these five things, I hope you come to the same conclusion I have. This is one of the sweetest and most wonderful stories in the Bible that paint the picture of what God has done for us when he made us part of his family. Number one, I point out to you that Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. Again, the enemies of Israel were attacking the city where he was staying. His grandfather Saul had been killed. His father Jonathan had been killed. The nurse was afraid that they were going to kill this little 5-year-old boy, so she took him up, or took him by the hand, and said, "Hey, we've got to run. We've got to get out of here. We've got to move because they're coming to kill you. And again, I don't know if it was because if she fell or if he tripped and fell or if he was if an animal crushed his legs as they were fleeing away. But by some means, this little five-year-old boy was crippled by a fall. When he went to live with his uncle in this land of Lodabar, he was a cripple. He could not get out and play with the other boys, the games that they played. He could not get out and run. He could not get out and do all the activities that little boys back in those days did. I don't know if they played cowboys and Indians or what they played, but I'm sure that little boys are little boys. They're going to run. They're going to play. And all this boy could do was sit in the house, look out the window. He was crippled by a fall. I point out to you this morning that every person in this room was also crippled by a fall. When Adam and Eve faced the tempter in the garden, when Eve ate the fruit and gave it to Adam and he ate, man fell. They fell from a lofty estate. They fell from an innocent state. They fell from a state of fellowship with God to a state of separation from God. They fell from being innocent to being guilty. They fell from being right with God to being separated from God. Every single person in Adam fell and was crippled by a fall. Some people say, well, preacher, I believe man is good by nature. And I ask you this morning, then where does all the wickedness in the world come from? Where does murder come from? Where does rape come from? Where does homosexuality come from? Man's nature is not good. Man's nature is evil, and it came from the fall of Adam. In the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and all men have sinned because of that one man, Adam, falling. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. Mephibosheth was crippled by this fall, and so was every single one of us. We were crippled by the fall that took place in the Garden of Eden, and every man and woman that's been born since that time, every little boy and girl that's been born since that time, was born with a sin nature. We were crippled by their fall. The second thing I point out to you this morning, that the king came looking for this little cripple teenager. David calls his servants together. I want to find somebody that's related to Jonathan. I want to find one of his descendants so that I can do something nice for him. They call this servant Ziba in. And Ziba says, there is one. Jonathan has a son. His name is Mephibosheth. He's living down in Lodibar. Now, Lodibar was on the other side of the track, so to speak. It was a poor section of the country. They were not well-to-do people in that part of the country. He's living down in Lodibar with his uncle. And King David said to Ziba, I want you to go get him. I want you to go find him and bring him back to me. The king came looking for this teenager. I can only imagine how Ziba felt. Wouldn't you like to have a job like that? To get to go down and find this little cripple boy who's living in poverty, who's just getting by, and tell him, hey, you get to come and be a son of the king. You get to eat at the king's table. Oh, by the way, I have a job like that. I get to go to every single person that's crippled by the fall, and I get to tell them, hey, the King of Kings is looking for you. He wants to make you part of his family. He wants you to eat at his table. I can only imagine. I can only imagine the joy that Ziba had to carry that news. I can just imagine as he was riding his horse, leading this caravan that came out of Jerusalem down to Lodibar. I can imagine that he was thinking to himself, I get to bring this little crippled boy back to the king. I get to tell him he doesn't have to live in poverty anymore. He gets to live with the king. He gets to be one of the king's sons. I can see as they pull into my car's driveway. I imagine that Mephibosheth was looking out the window and say, Uncle, come see what's happening. There's a royal caravan pulling up in front of our house. And Micah comes and looks out the window and says, I wonder what they want. Ziba comes to the door, knocks on the door. Micah answers the door and says, what's up? I paid my taxes. I mean, there's nothing you want with me. And Ziba says, I'm not here for you. I'm looking for a little crippled teenager by the name of Mephibosheth. Is he here? And Micah said, well, sure he's here. But what's he done? All he does is stay in the house. He hadn't done anything wrong. And Ziba says, I'd like to see him, please. Micah says, Mephibosheth, come, they're looking for you. What have you done? They haven't told me. They're looking for you. And Mephibosheth comes to the door, and Ziba says, are you Mephibosheth? Yes, I am. Are you Saul's grandson? Yes, I am. Are you Jonathan's son? Yes, I am. Ziba says, I got some good news for you. The king sent me to get you, to bring him back to the palace, to bring him back to be one of his sons, to bring him back to be part of his family, to bring you back to eat at his table. I wonder what Mephibosheth said. I wonder if he says, could you give me a little bit of time? I need to think about it. I wonder if he said, well, I'm not so sure that I want to do that. I'm enjoying living here with my uncle. Yeah, I know we don't have much and we don't have a lot to eat and we're poor and I'm just a cripple and I can't do anything. I'm just having too much fun to go live with the king. You think he said that? Not on your life. Not on your life. He says, the king wants me to come live with him? The king wants me to become part of his family? Where do I sign? I'm ready to go. If he would have said, I need some time to think about it, or I'm not sure I want to do it, or I'm having too much fun, he would have been lying. And so are you if you're a person who the king has called and said, I'm having too much fun. I can't afford to get saved. You're lying and you know it. You have no peace in your life. You have no joy in your life. There's something empty in your life. There's something missing in your life that nothing in this world can satisfy, that nothing in this world can fill. The only thing that can fill that empty spot in your heart and your soul is a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you ought not to even wait till I get to the end of the message. The king's looking for you this morning. He wants to make you part of his family. He wants you to sit at his table and eat with him and be one of his sons. You ought to come running down the aisle and say, that's for me. Where do I sign? Where do I sign? I'm sure Mephibosheth might have asked Ziba, are you sure? Did the king really send you? And Ziba said, here's my credentials. What I'm telling you is true. I want to show you this morning. Here's my credentials. What I'm telling you is true. The king is looking for you. The king wants you to be part of his family. The king wants you to be one of his sons. The king wants you to eat at his table. The invitation is open. Number three, I point out to you that the king had made all the provision that Mephibosheth needed to get back to the palace. Ziba didn't say, okay, Mephibosheth, you're willing to come? Just follow me and I'll lead you back to the palace. He was a cripple. He couldn't follow him. He couldn't walk. He couldn't run behind the horses. That's not how it happened. Ziba said, hey, Mephibosheth, come on. I think he picked him up. He carried him out, put him in a chariot, put him on a horse. Say, here's a snack that the king sent for you to eat on the way. Here's some clothes for you to change into. The king has provided everything that you need to make the journey from Lodibar back to the palace. Listen, the king has provided everything that you need. There's nothing that you need to add to what the king provided for you to come to his home and to be part of his family and to be one of his sons. It is not Jesus and baptism, it is just Jesus. It is not Jesus and confession, it is just Jesus. It is not Jesus and communion, it is just Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's through him and nothing else. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And he settled the account. There's nothing that we need to add to what Christ did on the cross. He paid the total price. He made all the provision that's needed. Just like King David did for Mephibosheth. I point out to you number four. When Mephibosheth accepted the king's invitation, he became one of the king's son. He got to the palace. We read it a moment ago. David came out to meet him and said, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, my son. And you notice what Mephibosheth said? He said to David, behold thy servant. You're making me one of your sons, but I want to be one of your servants. I want to serve you. Surely there's something that I can do. Surely there's some service that I can render. You know, that's the way we ought to react when we become one of the king's sons. God doesn't just save us to fill up 18 inches of pew. By the way, that's an official number. That's what the architect says that we can allow for every person to sit in the pew, 18 inches. But anyhow, God didn't just save us to fill up 18 inches of pew. He saved us to serve. There's something that every single person can do. And Mephibosheth, behold thy servant. I can picture it in my mind. He's in the palace the first day. It comes time for dinner. In walks a man dressed in uniform, a glittering sword by his side. He sits at the table. I'm one of the king's son. In walks a man clothed in the uniform of a diplomat who represents the kingdom in other nations. He sits at the table and says, I'm one of the king's sons. In walks an athlete, muscles bulging, just strength embodied. He sits at the table and says, I'm one of the king's sons. And then in hobbles this little cripple 13-year-old. Not as brave as the first, not as smart as the second, not as strong as the third, but just as much a son of the king as the first three. Listen, you may not be the Apostle Paul, but you're just as saved as he was. You may not be Stephen, but you're just as saved as he was. You may not be a Peter, but you're just as saved as he was. Mephibosheth sits at that table that first night, and the words are ringing in his head, I'm one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons. Sort of like the girl who got married. We have some ladies in this church that have been married for years and years and years, and they've never gotten over being a missus. They've never gotten over being a wife. I've known some girls, even before they got married, they took out they take a tablet and they'd write their married name. Mrs., you know, miss, and they'd just keep writing it over and over because they couldn't get over it. They were going to be a missus. And that's the way Mephibosheth was. I am one of the king's sons. I'm one of the king's sons. I sit at the king's table. I'm part of his family. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And then number 5, I point out to you that Mephibosheth's crippled condition was covered. He sat at the table that night, first night, and on the table was a white linen tablecloth. All the food and all the drink were put on that tablecloth. And as Mephibosheth sat at that table, the tablecloth covered him from the waist down. As the king looked down the table, as he looked at each of his sons, the only thing that he could see were strong, healthy sons. The thing that was wrong with Mephibosheth was covered up by the tablecloth. You know what? That's what the blood of Jesus Christ does for me. That's what it does for me. I'm not perfect. I still do things I shouldn't do, and I don't do things I should do. But my shortcomings, when God looks at me, he doesn't see those. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you've been crippled by a fall. Every single one of us in this room were crippled by that same fall. You've been crippled by a fall. I got good news for you this morning. The king is looking for you. The king's looking for you. The king's looking for you. He wants you to be part of his family. He wants you to be one of his sons. And he's made all the provisions. You don't need to do a thing except take his invitation. And if you'll accept his invitation, he'll make you one of his sons. He'll do it right now. You'll be part of his family. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you just accept the king's invitation to be part of his family? Now, let me say a word to the Christians, because I know most of us here this morning are Christians. And I'm just going to use my imagination a little bit. After dinner, the sun goes down. Mephibosheth is going back to his room, and one of the servants says, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" Mephibosheth says, "There is one thing. Can you take me out to the cemetery?" Servant says, "Why do you want to go to the cemetery?" Mephibosheth says, "I just need to go." So he carries him out to the cemetery. He says, "Just put me down here. I'll go the rest of the way by myself." He takes his crutches, walks through the cemetery until he finds a marker whose name, Jonathan, is written on. His dad. I can see in my mind this teenager getting down on his knees in front of that grave and saying, "Dad, everything that happened today was not because of me. It was because of you. Thank you for being a friend of the king. Because everything that's happened to me today, again, not because of me, but because of you." I sort of think every Christian here today ought to get on their knees before the one that hung on Calvary's cross, before the one that lay in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, before the one who now sits on the right hand of the Father as our advocate, and we ought to say, "I'm not a child of the king today because of me. I'm a child of the king today because of what you did. Because of what you did on Calvary. Because you were my substitute. Because you were the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus, thank you for all you did to make me one of God's children." And if you're a Christian here this morning and you haven't done that for a while, you ought to do it this morning. You ought to say, "Thank you, Jesus, for what you did to make me a child of the King." We sing the song sometimes, "My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King. a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. One more verse. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King through Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. If you know him as your Savior, so are you. You're part of his family. You're one of his sons. You'll eat at his table one day. If you're not, you can be. All you got to do is accept his invitation. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the love that took Jesus to the cross to pay for all of our sins. Father, I pray this morning for those that might be here that's never received him, never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, would you help them understand they're a sinner. They've been crippled by that fall. You're looking for them this morning. You want them to be part of your family. You've done everything that needs to be done. All they need to do is accept your invitation. Please help them do that this morning. And then for all the Christians that are here, help us to understand it's not us, not us. It's what Jesus did for us that makes us one of your children. Help us to thank him today. Just bless this time of invitation. Father, I pray that you just use it. You'd speak to our hearts and we'd be obedient. We'd listen. We'd do what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.